Cool shots, bro.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about movies and television and video games and books, all the cool things coming out up until later this year.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am Molly, your host, joined as always by other hosts, Nick.
Hi.
And Tim.
I'm the other host.
And we are right now recording in the beautiful Glover Studios here in our house.
Deepwood Mott.
That's right. And we wanted to talk about movies coming up and television.
And stuff we're looking forward to in early 2018.
Like because, 2018 stuff preview.
Because we're in Minnesota and it's fucking cold here.
Holy fuck.
It's been in the single digits of Fahrenheit degrees for many weeks, like basically since Christmas, and as such, it's time to start looking forward to things that will be happening that maybe give us some hope to get through the winter months.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in. Yeah.
Like a post-solstice geek outlook.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So right now it's January, so is there anything coming up in January like that it hasn't come out yet this month, guys, that we're super excited about?
I don't think so.
I started my list with February's.
Okay, cool. Well, then the next few weeks are still going to be bleak, but we'll get through. Well, all right, what are we doing?
Maze Runner's coming out. Never mind.
Woof, Maze Runner. What's wrong with you?
You asked me, and I looked.
I know, like right away in February. Actually, while we're in Disney, Molly, Altered Carbon is going to be on Netflix.
Oh, right.
The first season of the adaptation of Richard K. Morgan's very violent cyberpunk kind of detective novel. I really love this book. It might be my favorite cyberpunk novel.
Really?
I think so, because I've gone back and reread it a few times. I've always been like very satisfied with the particular mix of like the world, the setting, the brutality, the violence, the sex in the book is good. Like it's yeah. And it's going to be on Netflix, and so far the trailers look pretty good.
Exciting. Right. There's your January.
February 2nd.
Oh, that's February 2nd. All right, right there. So then later in February, we know Black Panther.
Black Panther is the big one.
All right, we have our tickets.
Yep.
Tim, you got your tickets?
No, I don't have. I don't know when I'm going to be able to go yet.
All right.
There's a lot of stuff.
Normally, because Alex is only home on the weekends, and you know Devin's got school and stuff, we don't tend to go until like the afternoon, Saturday or Sunday of the weekend that it opens. So usually it's not that hard to get tickets. So, but I mean we're gonna go opening weekend. You know we are.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. We're in the middle of the Marvel viewing schedule.
Yeah, we're rewatching everything to build up to the release of.
Yeah,
so,
we just watched Thor, the first one.
So that we're 1 week ahead, just so we don't have to worry about watching one while we're on vacation.
I'm on Iron Man 2.
Perfect.
Anyway, so yeah, Black Panther is good.
I'm so excited for Black Panther, you guys. Yeah. It looks so good.
I'm ready to throw money at that franchise until they make more.
Oh my God! There was a GoFundMe campaign someone started for he wanted to take like 100 inner city kids, like black kids from his neighborhoods to go see the movie.
Awesome.
And he needed like $3,000 and he had over $6,000 within like a day of opening up the campaign. So I don't
ended
know.
Ended up with way more than that.
Yeah,
too.
I have no, yeah. I'm sure. I haven't seen the final total, but it was like, it's so cool. Like, yeah.
I will go watch that movie multiple times in the theater. Not only because I think I'm going to love it, but because I want it to do super well.
Agreed. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Man.
Opening weekend dollars will matter.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I've been to Star Wars The Last Jedi 3 times.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons.
At the same time, one of the things you can like about Disney is it's so big.
Yeah.
They kind of don't give a fuck about what their ratings are if it's something that they think is yeah. you know,
and it's like Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I think even if it's not a message to Disney, it still kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
If they make a ton of money off of films that are representative, representation
yeah.
films,
yep.
that's like Last Jedi, like Black Panther.
Buy the toys, man. That's
yeah,
the,
right. Yeah,
that's the toys. That's the money that speaks to them.
No kidding. I every Lego set that comes out with Rey in it, I buy.
Oh sure.
Just on principle. So
also in February, right before Black Panther is. The penultimate season of Homeland starts.
Oh, man.
Season 7 of Homeland, which is super good, like, spy drama.
It was espionage. So good this last season.
Terrorism.
There have been some serious issues that they've been tackling that have been really, yeah. really good.
Great portrayal, like a very rattling portrayal of mental health.
Yeah.
And terrorism and racism and espionage. It's super gonna fit in with the president stuff in this next season.
Man. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that comeback. Plus Claire Danes cry face. You can't miss that.
Dude, she's got such a good cry face. She looks she's amazing.
Claire Danes cry face. All right.
Also Annihilation comes out in February.
I don't know a lot about that, but I'm really intrigued.
Nick just read the
it.
Book.
I just finished it's called the Southern Reach trilogy. They're like three short novels. Like the audiobook is like 7 hours or something like that, 8 hours for the first one. It is, I don't know, man, kind of like non-Euclid, like it kind of reminds me of The Thing. It kind of reminds me of, Tim, what was that movie you said?
Arrival.
Kind of somewhere between Arrival and The Thing. And,
that's cool.
And it's very existential, like it kind of reminds me of Stranger in a Strange Land.
Yeah,
in a weird kind of philosophical way.
The trailer, and I don't know, I haven't read the book. Obviously, the trailer reminds me of Arrival and the idea that there's some sort of alien presence, and we've got a character whose job it is to figure out this alien presence and figure out whether it's benign or. Or not benign, and I'm losing my words right now. So that's why it feels like a little bit of a connection to Arrival. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's
something you told me.
Malevolent.
The book that was interesting.
There's the word I wanted. Malevolent.
Something you told me that was interesting about the book was that the characters are just called the biologist, the psychologist.
Yeah.
Like they don't have names. Yep. They're just they have titles.
The movie or the first book is about the 12th expedition into Area X, and the 12th expedition is four women of varying talents who are never referred to by name and only ever spoken of by title, and they are for various reasons that are never made clear. There's a lot of rules and stipulations about what they can and can't bring into Area X, which is very mysterious. And they go there and they go there knowing there's a very good chance that they will not come back, or if they come back, they'll come back wrong, or they'll die very quickly of cancer. And it's a big fucking mystery.
And like it's like three slender books.
Yeah.
Like the audiobooks are only like 6-8 hours each.
Yep.
So like, but it might just be like a whole putting them all into one movie.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know.
Yeah. So it.
I. We'll see.
It's exciting.
I think you could condense down the book quite a bit, especially if you're just doing it as a more action-y movie. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of internal dialogue that is very kind of surreal, psychedelic-y stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well. Speaking of psychedelic-y stuff.
Yeah.
There's this weird looking show. I guess it isn't really psychedelic. It's more like psychological is what I was thinking. I just saw an ad for this show called Hard Sun that comes out in March.
Okay.
And it's a post-apocalyptic London.
Pre-apocalyptic,
like it's about the apocalypse happening kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I guess like detective mystery kind of thing. It looks like the guy might be a detective of sorts.
Yeah.
And it's by the guy who did Luther, which we never watched. Did you ever see any of that?
I have watched some of it.
Did you like it?
So far.
With Idris Elba?
It has like a strong fan base. Well, yeah, I know. Like, yeah.
Idris Elba's awesome, so I mean, yeah. I'm sure that like he does nothing but elevate whatever it is too, because he's amazing. Because
Idris Elba, right. Yeah.
What else? What else? In March.
In March, well, I'm just gonna. We got Red Sparrow coming out, which looks like basically Black Widow.
Yeah,
except it's not.
But now Marvel's gonna do a Black Widow movie, so maybe it's a good thing.
Is it standalone or is it like is it a DC thing or nope? It's just some.
It's just Jennifer Lawrence being fucking Red Room Black Widow, basically.
Dude, I'll watch Jennifer Lawrence being Black Widow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence.
She was absolutely great as Mystique. I very much liked her
for the first couple times. Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence basically does not suck. She can be in things that suck, but
That movie might have sucked, but it wasn't her fault. Okay,
that's right. But also, you know, the same day the Red Sparrow comes out, I have to point out there's a remake of Death Wish.
Yeah.
Coming out with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Is it a straight remake of it? Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was an homage or it is a remake of the original. So that
They call it a reimagining.
Okay, but what I know about Death Wish as it was that it was the punchline that stood for like really violent movie for a long time when I was a kid.
Totally.
Like and then Faces of Death was like the other one that was like the gory, gross, horrible like snuff film. Yeah.
So
Death Wish.
Death Wish is like gets his family killed. He turns into like a vigilante killer.
So it's like the Punisher.
It is Charles Bronson.
Yeah.
Like, got a little snub-nosed revolver, beats the shit out of
people. Kind of like Falling Down, but like without that sense of purpose, maybe?
Yeah, I Punisher isn't far off. Like Schlub, an ordinary Schlub turned Punisher.
Yeah.
In the comic I'm reading now, Killer Be Killed is kind of like that a little bit. Okay. But like the first trailer looked, I was like, oh shit, Death Wish, right on. And then the second trailer I was like, oh man, this is like Second Amendment porn.
Oh, sure.
Like, it feels, I don't know, man. It feels a little politically red.
Feels a little stand your groundy.
It really kind of.
Like this is all justified.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Stand your ground. Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, at least in Falling Down, he is not painted as any of it being justified. You're like, you're like, oh, no, this guy is, like, gone. Like, this is bad. Yeah.
Sure. And even in Punisher.
Right.
You can't really totally, you can kind of get on board with what he's doing, but you can't really get on board with what he's doing.
I would say traditionally, Punisher, at least his, so we'll call it Daredevil Punisher, his Frank Castle's like origin story is definitely painted as the, he's getting justice for his dead family, and so for you can be on his side.
Right.
I think for sure. And I don't like that even in Punisher, really. It's just something that I think, I agree. That's to me like Second Amendment porn. So,
yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the new Death Wish is. That's
I don't know.
Everything from the 70s is coming back.
So then, the next week is A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah,
that is very exciting.
Yeah, that's a Disney film, but
which is setting up as a part of the start of a franchise following the series,
which is great because the series is amazing and gets weirder and weirder as the books go on. So it's very cool that they're like embracing the weird right off the bat.
Yeah.
Sure, the trailers really do look like they're embracing the weird.
Oh, yeah.
I'm super excited for it. I think that the casting is really great, and I think that the way that they are portraying some of the more like weirdo magical alien stuff they encounter is like, oh, I guess, you know, I imagine it maybe a different way, but like I get exactly what's happening.
And the magic science of it all kind of,
Yeah, so that's great. That one, I think, is pretty exciting.
In March 1st, the second season of Atlanta starts up, which is called Atlanta Robin, which is, so apparently, in Atlanta, the time period before the holidays, like, leading up to Christmas, is often called, like, the Robin season.
Okay.
Because of the increase in robberies and burglaries.
Oh.
Because, like, people have gifts, people have stuff, people have more money on them. So, like, people say it's Robin season.
Jesus.
So the second season of Atlanta is called Robin.
All right.
Season Robin, yeah.
Well, that's kind of, that's, like that. I'm excited, but also because I like the characters, I'm like, oh no,
right?
No, exactly. Guys, no. Yeah. What are you doing? Like,
but that if you're not watching Atlanta, it's Donald Glover. It's he created the show. It's fucking brilliant. And Zazie Beetz, who is Domino in Deadpool 2, which also comes out this year. We'll talk about it a little later.
Yeah,
she's in Atlanta, and so if you want to like check her out as an actress, yeah, she's really great.
Atlanta's super good, and like surprising no one, it's got a just super great soundtrack.
Yeah,
that like the music in the show is really good.
Yeah,
I loved it. The story was like the story was good too, exciting like. I felt like I wanted to watch it every week because we watch a lot of TV weekly, not binging.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was definitely a show where I was like, every week, right as it aired, we wanted to watch it. So
nice.
Which is high praise.
Netflix has two second seasons in March. We get the second season of Jessica Jones on March 8th.
Ah, that's so soon.
And then we get the second season of Series of Unfortunate Events on March 30th.
And oh, like, spring those is going to be so good, like, for TV, you guys.
Jessica Jones season 2. Holy shit, am I excited to see Jessica Jones be a detective and do detective stuff and not get weighed down. Like, you're no longer obligated to make this good despite Janny Rand. Now you can just do your own thing and be talented.
Yeah, yeah. But,
like, Series of Unfortunate Events was so fucking good.
Did you ever watch it?
I didn't, and I want to.
It's it is worth... It because the episodes are quick, it is worth just some morning when you're like just having breakfast, just sitting down and watching like a few episodes, you know, like just
there are days where I need adorable. A brain break in the middle of the day.
It's so funny.
PH is amazing as Count Olaf. The kids are good.
Oh wait, Neil Patrick Harris at Count Olaf.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's so perfect,
and kids are so good.
Like he.
Almost I swear our audience is going to think I don't know shit about shit. Because anyway.
Almost all the trailers have been Count Olaf breaking the third wall and, like, directly insulting the audience and the children about,
yeah.
like, him returning on the show to do another season and stuff.
Huh.
Like, he does them all in character, like, self-aware of the show-ness of it.
Yeah.
The commercials are great.
The trailers for all of it are so good.
Music is fantastic.
This theme song is super funny.
Yeah. It's really good budgeted stuff for Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about, you got, what else in March? What's,
Tomb Raider. So Tomb Raider, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited for that.
As a like dude who likes Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones style characters. I mean, that's what Tomb Raider is.
Dude, this reimagining is so good. You're gonna just love it. It's very much like Indiana Jones now, way more than it was.
But I mean, the movies have not been great, and I don't know if this one will be great. But I want it to be. And I'm going to give it a shot.
That's all I'm saying. The movies have not been great because they've been based on what I will just call, like, old Lara Croft's, like, story. When they did this kind of, I hate to say it, but kind of grittier reboot, more realistic reboot, her story became so much better. And since she became more capable and they focused more on, like, the actual crafting and shit you have to do to be
an adventurer. Survival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it becomes more like Indiana Jones stuff and less like... Jumanji. Like, I don't know how else to...
There's more puzzle aspect to it. There's more... It's more than just walking around with two guns shooting things.
So I think the movie's going to be really good.
I'm going to say, by the way, since you brought it up, the if you have not seen the Jumanji with The Rock...
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's like The Breakfast Club in the jungle.
Not bad makes me feel like I can wait until I'm not saying
like go spend $8-$10 on it, but I'm saying
that's like set the TiVo to grab it when it comes on HBO.
I'm saying I enjoyed it.
I'll watch it when it's free.
And I thought about watching it again.
That's fair.
In the theater. So.
Oh, come on, man.
It was fun. What's your point? The original Jumanji shit, so this was better.
That is debatable, sir.
Also, March from a geek perspective, on the 23rd, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
So more giant robots and giant monsters.
I'm excited. I liked Pacific Rim.
But the second one just doesn't look. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to go see it. I'm not going to not see it.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, why wouldn't you not?
I saw the second Transformers movie, for God's sake. That's when it was like, no.
Right.
And then the March 30th. So, I mean, pretty much every week of March has a nerd title coming out. March 30th is Ready Player One.
Yes, that is super exciting.
Yeah.
I think that we just saw a longer trailer for that when we went and saw Star Wars again, and man, I think it looks so great. Like, I am just so excited for it. I think the book was written to be a movie, so, like, it's so visual.
I think the people that don't like the book won't like the movie.
No, probably they're gonna hate it.
And I, that's fine. This movie isn't for them, it's for literally everyone else.
The movie is for people who liked the book and people who are...
People who would like the book.
And people who would like the book, exactly, if they read it, but maybe they don't read much.
My son Alex, who adores Ready Player One, watched the trailer, and he's super critical about stuff as far as how how faithful it is. You know, I don't know where he is at.
All I can think of is from Rick and Morty, hey, do autistic people like this game? I don't think you can say that, but why? Because I'm loving it. Like, that's like, all I can think is like, yeah, I think I really love that book too and hope it's fifth. Yeah, all right.
So anyway, he's looking forward to it, and he feels that the trailer made it look pretty faithful to the book.
I think so too. I kept leaning over to Nick and going, yeah, like this is just...
Also, and I should point out, it is directed by Steven Spielberg, who has a certain level of ability.
Yeah, he's pretty good at stuff.
He's been known to make a decent nerd film or two.
Yeah, like AI.
I love AI. Did anybody? I was just gonna say, did Spielberg like have a Lucas run where like he just like he made a few bad films and lost credibility as like always being good? But I don't think so.
No, he's been making a lot of films. He made Lincoln a couple of years back, which was excellent.
Uh-huh.
The Post is a film that is not out yet, but I've seen it and it's a really good film about the Washington Post.
Oh, that's cool.
With Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks.
And Crystal Skull, like that.
Oh, Crystal Skull, there we go. I knew there was one of them. I knew there was got to be something.
All
right.
He's not made all great films.
That's fine. All right, back to the topic at hand.
So, one last thing in March.
Yes.
That I want, for me at least. I forgot. The very last issue of Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Gatos and David Mackon covers Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones, number 18.
Right.
The final issue written by Brian Michael Bendis. Possibly his last comic written for Marvel.
It's crazy.
I don't know where he's at with Spider-Man, but that's crazy. His other one he's running because Guardians already ended. So that'll be the last... And it's already got a new creative team. Like, it's going to start with them with number 19 the next month. And that's where we're going to stop buying it in issues.
Does it... I start to wonder if, like... does, like, Bendis going to DC... Is this, like, when Bob Dylan plugged in his guitar? And you're just like... I'm just so shocked to my core that, like... that, like, you're leaving this one thing for what feels like this other big thing. Like...
Oh, he did... They announced what he's going to be writing for DC to start.
And?
It's Action Comics. It's Batman. He's going to be... Superman, I mean. He's going to be writing the 1,000th issue of Superman.
That's crazy.
That's probably how they got him to do it.
No shit. Like, I mean, yeah.
That's going to sell a lot of copies.
He created a character called Sentry for Marvel that is like a Superman ripoff.
He just dangled that in front of me.
Please, it's all back and forth
Before we move to April, though, Nick, you said there was one more thing in March, but I do think it is important from a Geeks Without God perspective
that I point out
March 30th,
yep.
God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness comes out.
Is it A Light in Darkness, in the darkness?
A Light in Darkness.
Oh, God
damn
it.
On the thing that I'm looking at that gives movie release dates, most of which have really good plot descriptions, the description of God's Not Dead 3 is third installment of the God's Not Dead series. That is all it tells me about
objective fact.
the biggest star in the film is Tatum O'Neill. So,
Tatum O'Neill. She won an Oscar at age 9 for Paper Moon.
And now she's in God's Not Dead.
She's Ryan McNeil's daughter. No. He was in Not the Way We Were. Was he in The Way We Were? No, I don't remember.
Anyway.
Oh. This is probably Robert Redford than most people. But Kick-Ass is coming back. The comic, Kick-Ass and Hit Girl, are both coming back with new number ones.
That's exciting.
And Dave Lazowski or whatever, Dave, the kid that is Kick-Ass, is no longer Kick-Ass. It is now a woman of color. A young woman of color is the new Kick-Ass, which it's still Mark Miller writing. It's still John Romita Jr. doing the art. And Hit Girl is still Hit Girl in her own comic, but that has a different artist. Ricardo Ortiz is doing the art for Hit Girl now, but those both come back in February, and that's kind of fun. I don't know.
That's cool.
I'll be reading them.
I am just looking up to see if, like, so there's this really great book that I really love called You. By Carolyn Kapnes. I've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
And it, I think it just says that it's going to come out in 2018. It should be coming out soon, though. They're making a show of it. And I was like, yay. And then it's like, it's on Lifetime. I'm like, oh. And then, like, the people that are in it are people I either don't know or, like, their biggest credit is something, like, that I'm really unfamiliar with, like, Gossip Girl or something. And it's like, okay. And so I'm very tentative about it. But that could be good. The books are really good. So
right.
That was my only book thing. I think there might be a Stephen King book coming out, but I think that's later in the year.
Oh, I didn't look through any books.
But
I'm waiting on some.
Speaking of comics and stuff, though,
yeah.
In April, Legion Season 2 is coming out. And that's on FX. That show was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about
the
second
season.
The
best thing they've done with a mutant property in years and years.
Yep. Just like... I mean, obviously we can't talk about it too much because it's one of those really layered things that I think you need to experience going in blind. But like... Not blind, but the way people did. But... There were so many times we paused these episodes, Tim, and like one of them would say to each other, this is what I think is going on. Is this what you think is going on? Be like, yes, that cool. All right. Like, this is like where we are in the thing right now.
What we're being showed right now is a lie of sorts,
right?
Right?
It's super cool. So I really recommend that. If you haven't watched that.
Apparently season two.
Of course I haven't watched it.
Season two picks up a year later.
That's very exciting.
Season one ends on some significant shit. And to pick up a year later seems...
That's cool.
Crazy to me.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Movies in April are really... It's not a great month. From a nerd perspective. But we're going to have to even catching up from March.
And February wasn't bad either.
But near the end...
And May is going to kick our ass.
Near the end of the month, Cloverfield 2017.
Okay, that's cool.
Which isn't its final title, right?
I don't know what it is. That's all it says, Cloverfield 2017.
They might be keeping the title under
wraps. Follows
an
American space station crew left abandoned after a problem with a Hadron Accelerator causes Earth to vanish entirely.
It's exciting.
So, because Cloverfield kind of does this weird, they're like an anthology. They're making it as an anthology sort of horror, alien, monster thing.
And so far it feels like it's been centered around the same event, right? Like
it was briefly titled The God Particle, but has now changed to Untitled Cloverfield Sequel. Because all plot device references to the discovery of the God Particle have been removed from the script.
Interesting.
But I think that we could safely assume from that it's science fiction horror.
Yeah, it does, as he said, it does follow the crew from the thing, so... All
right.
And it does have John Krasinski from The Office, so...
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Shit, I really like his acting.
Yeah. So that's possible, interesting. Also, Rampage. Anything that involves an adaptation of a video game of giant monsters destroying buildings.
It's going to be so
dumb. And it's
dumb.
The Rock, right?
Of course it's going to be dumb. How could
it
not be?
It's going to be like Battleship dumb. Or it's
it looks, well, it's the same fucking thing.
I know.
It looks so dumb. I don't even know. I bet I...
It's The Rock, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's The Rock.
Oh, boy.
It's The Rock is a gorilla whisperer, so...
Oof.
Yeah.
His gorilla buddy is the gorilla from Rampage that gets big, like Lizzie the Lizard.
Oh, my God.
Whatever the rat's name is.
Oh my god.
It's a wolf. It's a wolf. God, you never played this game.
I thought it was a rat.
It's a wolf.
It looks like a rat. Wolf.
I always thought it was a werewolf, too, so I don't really don't understand what they're doing with this friend of lizard and gorilla stuff.
And then, this is a big week. This is Friday, April 20th. They've got the Cloverfield scheduled, Rampage scheduled. Also, they have, and this is just me, this is not a nerd movie, but this is a Tim nerd thing. They have a remake of the movie Overboard, which is a Kurt Russell.
Okay, it is a remake.
Yeah.
Okay.
It which was a Kurt Russell Golden Hawn movie.
Boy.
That is not great, but I love it anyway.
It is.
It was problematic
as fuck.
Of course it is.
Right.
It's terrible.
It's so weird to remake it. Excuse me.
But that said, Patton, I love it anyway. But this one is gender bent, so.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
the gender bending makes me more interested in it.
It's acceptable when a woman kidnaps a man.
No, it's more like it's not acceptable so much as it is at least it's like, okay, this problematic movie, we're not just straight remaking it. We're at least flipping it in terms of the power structure, dominant-wise. But, like, agreed, it's still sexist to get, you know, to do it that way. So if it's, I don't know, maybe they're rewriting it, too.
Yeah.
It's not okay however you bend it, but I still like that movie.
Yeah.
And I know it. I know it's wrong. And the same day, a movie that should not be released in Minnesota comes out called Duck, Duck, Goose.
Right.
And
we should all boycott that movie statewide.
Organize,
the way they had that joke. That guy who made the joke event that was dressed up like birds and run into the Viking stadium. During the Super Bowl or whatever, and apparently got all the way to the strip.
They're gonna look at the box office money for Duck Duck Goose. It's going to look like the 1984 presidential election map. Where they're like, Mondale? Who the fuck is Mondale?
Why didn't the AMCs in Minnesota make... They made $0.
We didn't sell a single ticket of Duck Duck Goose in Minnesota. What happened?
Oh my god, I wish we could make it happen, but there's no way.
Right. Yeah. And
that's
then,
great.
And then May is a crazy month for movies.
May is going to be awesome.
So what do we start off with then?
Infinity War on May 4th.
May 4th, right away. On Star Wars Day.
Then we get a Star Wars movie that month anyway.
Yeah.
Because we get Solo later. Yep.
A Star Wars story.
We get the Solo movie and we get the Avengers.
And Deadpool.
War. And Deadpool.
And Deadpool.
All in May.
Yeah, Deadpool was originally going to go up against Solo, but since the Fox Disney... buyout, they moved Deadpool to May 18th.
Well, of course, what idiot at Fox was like, it's a good idea to release that movie on the same day as a Han Solo film.
I mean, all the people without kids are going to go see Deadpool 2 and then go see Solo.
But a lot of people can't afford two movies in
a
weekend.
Totally.
So it's if you're asking people, if you're saying, oh well, they'll just see two, that's silly. You should assume they're only going to pay to see one.
I don't think it would have been such a disaster. That said, I totally understand why they moved it, because why would they compete with themselves?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, here's the difference. Deadpool opens on its own weekend. It is a decent chance of $100 million opening. If it opens against Solo, it does not.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's just like. That's you having two films open in the 100 million range on the same weekend does not happen.
So between Solo, Infinity War, and Deadpool 2, which are you most excited about?
Infinity War.
Infinity War.
I feel like I am also the most excited about Infinity War. I'm excited to see Deadpool 2. I really am.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm excited to see Solo.
I'm nervous excited to see Solo.
Yeah, I mean, Solo, it's a standalone movie. It's a great character. You really want
it
to be
excited.
Good.
You should be excited to see it.
But, I mean, they had problems in production. They had to replace the director.
That's true. It could feel disjointed.
If we know anything about Rogue One and how that movie got made, that movie got directed after it had been shot, mm-hmm. well after it had been mm-hmm. shot. Like... That movie got put together in the editing room, and I feel like a last-minute change for the director probably isn't the death blow to a Star Wars franchise movie that it might be to other movies.
Not necessarily, no.
Yeah.
They have so many people working, and they're such good people on everything. And so I think that, even...
Except their games.
Fuck you. such a jerk. You're such a jerk. No, I'm really excited to see the Star Wars, to see Solo. I think it's going to be really good.
Cool.
I'm really excited.
That's all I got for
Infinity War. Infinity War is just...
A couple other things. So I know it's probably happening now, or maybe it's already started, but I think the new Doctor Who...
Oh.
Start soon. Yep. We haven't been watching Doctor Who really. We stopped watching at the end with Matt. I cannot remember his name suddenly. Matt Smith, and then we watched a little Peter Capaldi, and then just kind of stopped. It wasn't. But I am excited to give another shot with a new Doctor, as always.
Yeah.
Always willing to give a new Doctor a try.
Sure.
And she looks really cool.
I think it's great that they're going with a woman as the Doctor, just because I think it's about time that they. Made it clear that you can do that.
I like her outfit. I think it's really cool that they didn't, like, girl her up real hard and make it, like, a super... I don't know. It would have been weird if, like, she's always worn... The Doctor's always worn some form of pants, then all of a sudden, just because she's a woman, it changes to a skirt.
Sure.
It's like, okay, that's... I don't know. So I like that it's pants. I like that her outfit has a little bit of whimsy to it like that. I don't know. I know a lot of people don't like... Because a lot of people don't like everything.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Peter Capaldi was literally Tuxedo Mask.
there's haters about everything. And I have not seen the last season with Capaldi, which from the friends I know that are big Who fans, mm-hmm. they really like that
season. Yeah,
yeah. So I need to catch up.
Also, perhaps before we're talking about things through May, so we might get Expanse Season 3.
Oh, we'll get it. I mean, the... March is the current big theory.
Is it? Well, it's all theory, though. So
yeah.
I think by May is a good guess.
Some people have started to leave obscure hints that aren't as clever as they think on Twitter and stuff.
That's cool. But that's very exciting. Also, in podcasts, and I think it comes out in the first half of the year, but I've talked about it before, Limetown, that really crazy sci-fi, horror-y kind of... A podcast that had one season and then ends on a cliffhanger and has been gone for 2.5 years. It's coming back. So I'll let you guys know when it's back. And it's a good time to get in on the first episode.
I haven't been paying attention to board or video game releases. I know Valkyria Chronicles 4 and Red Dead Redemption 2 are this year. And I know one of those is early and one is late, but I can never remember which is which.
I can't talk about anything because I always forget what we've announced and what we have. And so it's better just to not talk about anything. And that's all I know about. I don't know about any other games.
You can't talk about that Star Wars pool party game you guys made.
Yeah. You guys, you know the...
Star Wars pool party!
Those new games that are so popular, like the one with the dog that shakes and like the pie face, the pie hole game.
The fart button.
And all that. All those games. That's my next project.
Don't wake Vader.
Yeah, my new game is it's actually a Death Star. It shoots you in the face.
Nice.
So that's a lot of good shit.
Now there's so much. There's a lot coming up.
It's
so
much,
guys. I think we can make it through these last few bitter cold weeks.
Yeah,
and maybe our below 0 days will be over as soon as we start getting great things to watch.
Our geeky spirits will be warm.
Indeed. It's time for 5 questions.
Hey.
We are at our penultimate 5 answers.
Oh, shit.
It's happening.
That's a problem.
This is from Kirsten Wade. She's in Wise Fools with us.
Yeah.
I believe she's been on the show before, but maybe I'm wrong.
I thought she had.
Yeah.
We're going to call her friend of the show. I'm pretty sure she's been on the show.
All right, so she just says, I've never written in, but I love this round of 5 questions, so I'm going to do my part to keep it going. You hear that?
Yeah, we had her on talking about offensive comedy.
She's a good citizen, and she's doing her part by answering our 5 questions.
If you love these 5 questions, you better send in some answers.
All right.
We had her on almost 3 years ago.
Tim, question one.
Question number. One son of a bitch what is a conspiracy theory that you find most compelling?
Avril Lavigne was secretly replaced by either a clone or a lookalike. When she got famous, she had to hire a lookalike to distract paparazzi. After her parents' divorce in 2003, Lavigne took her own life, but the record studios weren't done wringing money out of her pseudo-pop punk persona. so her lookalike took over living as Avril. It's why her music made such a drastic change around that time, why she looks a little different, like makeup and plastic surgery aren't real, and why she bombed an interview last year where she was explicitly asked on live TV if she was a clone. There are entire websites dedicated to studying every blemish on her face for the past 10 years, and not long ago, there was a big gotcha moment when someone snapped a picture of her looking through the cheese shelf at a grocery store when she's supposed to be lactose intolerant.
Whoa!
What plans do you have for that cheese, doppelganger?
That is...
I've heard this one, and I fucking... It's so funny.
Dude, that's
so
amazing. That's super that, involved.
It's so amazing that people care.
All right, Nick.
Have you guys heard? I know, like, he's a scumbag, and there's some shit about him recently, but the Carly Rae Jepsen. He did like Max Landis did like a several hour YouTube examination of how every Carly Rae Jepsen song is based on the same event of someone breaking her heart and there might have been a murder involved and stuff. And he's like, he breaks down and analyzes every single song and really aligns them and you realize that like it's all about the same
thing.
That's
really funny.
Yeah, it's
That's
called
really
A Scar
funny.
No One Else Can See. Question two, what is your perfect 2-week vacation?
Somewhere in Germany, there's a huge LARP festival where people spend 2 weeks camping, completing quests, and generally playing as fantasy characters. It would basically be like working the Renaissance Festival, but nobody's getting paid and the swords are all foam.
Well, I mean, the part about nobody getting paid is like working Renaissance Festival.
I think
Festival.
It sounds more fun than working the Renaissance Festival. It sounds like just getting to play at the Renaissance Festival.
I would... perform there as an act.
That would be
that
so
would be fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right, question three.
Question number three, what is the geekiest thing you have ever done or said?
That's...
Nope.
Not that it. Question four?
Yeah.
Question three, what's a movie or book that changed your life?
My favorite book as a kid was Stargirl by Jason Spinelli. It's about this weird-ass girl who starts at a new school. She wears whatever she wants, smarts off during the pledge, and is overly kind to everyone she meets. The book inspired me to accept my own weirdness and to look for good in other people, even if they suck. It also teaches that small random acts of kindness can make someone's day magical, like leaving a small pile of change on a store shelf for another customer or shop, either person to find, something I still do today. That's
awesome.
Cool. I like that.
Question number four is, as Tim noted, what is the geekiest thing you have ever done or said?
In high school, we had to take a language credit, but it could be any language we wanted as long as we demonstrated progress and had work materials. Over the summer, I scoured the internet and library for every resource I could find and put together my own lesson plan to learn Tolkien's Elvish, both Sindarin and Kenya. I spent 3 semesters learning them and giving awkward presentations in class. Unfortunately, they are unfinished languages, so I could only go so far. God damn, I love Lord of the Rings.
You know,
great. Super
nerdy. That is something, Kirsten, that you have in common with Christopher Lee. Because Sir Christopher Lee knew Tolkien Elvish.
Oh, that's crazy cool.
So, alright, question number five. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Usually, the best cure is prevention, but if you find yourself watching The Hangover, I recommend finding a remote. Most homes have one, but they can be found at your local big box electronics store, and changing the channel. If you're still feeling the effects, laughing at bad dick jokes, acting like you're in a frat when you're definitely too old to join one, it's good to take your mind off things with a Brooks comedy, or maybe changing it up completely with a horror film. Remember, there are responsible ways to enjoy Zach Galifianakis, and this is not one of them.
Wow.
Oh, I miss Kirsten so much.
Yeah.
Awesome. She says, love you, Michelle. Look forward to your show every week. We cannot wait to see you again, Kirsten. Speaking of which, if you want to see Kirsten perform with Wise Fools Improv, we're going to be at the Fearless Presents in February 24th.
That's at the Phoenix, right, Tim?
Phoenix Theater.
Fearless Presents. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff that happens that night. You guys usually have a couple little acts or different acts together, right?
No, the Fearless Presents
is one
act.
Is it really?
It's 1 hour.
Oh, shit. I'm thinking of Fearless Five.
It's an hour of Wise Fool's Improv.
I'm thinking of the plays that are going on.
Right,
the
Fearless Five is different. Yeah.
Yes.
It's February 24th, one night only at the Phoenix Theater from 10:30 to 11.
Yeah, so come out and see Wise Fool's Improv. And you can see Kirsten, and you can tell her how much you loved her answers. Because those are good.
Yeah, especially the one about the hangover.
I know. All right, well, thank you guys so much. Again, if you have answers to our five questions, send them.
Hurry.
Questions.
geeksofthegod.com.
We literally only have one set of answers left, and we are recording another episode right away. So, because that's what we do. By the time you've heard this, we're out. If you were a Patreon subscriber, you would have known that we record our episodes often in twos and threes altogether, because they get $2 and up. Subscribers get to see those episodes in real time, kind of. So, like, right away after we record these tonight, those will go up for people on Patreon. So if you're interested in joining Patreon and hearing these things a lot sooner, by all means, think about joining us at patreon.com and tossing us a couple dollars a month.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. We're really excited about the upcoming spring. Let us know what you think. Is there anything we missed? What are you excited about? Let us know on Facebook, or you can tweet at us. But that's it. I think for this, we're just gonna have to wait for the movies to come to us.
God damn it!
All right.
Sigh.
Bye.
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 I can't wait to make Ron, Tony, and Byron watch God's Not Dead 3.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
All right. Stupid waiting for stuff I like.